Sunday, September 27th, 1942. Dearest Kitty, Mother and I had a so-called discussion today, but the annoying part is that I burst into tears. I can't help it. Daddy is always nice to me, and he also understands me much better. At moments like these, I can't stand Mother. It's obvious that I'm a stranger to her. She doesn't even know what I think about the most ordinary things. We were talking about maids and the fact that you're supposed to refer to them as domestic help these days. She claimed that when the war is over, that's what they'll want to be called. I didn't quite see it that way. Then she added that I talk about later so often and that I act as if I were such a lady, even though I'm not. But I don't think building sandcastles in the air is such a terrible thing to do, as long as you don't take it too seriously. At any rate, Daddy usually comes to my defense. Without him, I wouldn't be able to stick it out here. I don't get along with Margot very well either. Even though our family never has the same kind of outburst they have upstairs, I find it far from pleasant. Margot's and Mother's personalities are so alien to me. I understand my girlfriends better than my own mother. Isn't that a shame? For the umpteenth time, Mrs. Van Dan is sulking. She's very moody and has been removing more and more of her belongings and locking them up. It's too bad Mother doesn't repay every Van Dan disappearing act with a frank disappearing act. Some people, like the Van Dans, seem to take special delight not only in raising their own children, but in helping others raise theirs. Margot doesn't need it, since she's naturally good, kind, and clever, perfection itself. But I seem to have enough mischief for the two of us. More than once, the air has been filled with the Van Dans' admonitions and my saucy replies. Father and Mother always defend me fiercely. Without them, I wouldn't be able to jump back into the fray with my usual composure. They keep telling me I should talk less, mind my own business, and be more modest. But I seem doomed to failure. If Father weren't so patient, I'd have long ago given up hope of ever meeting my parents' quite moderate expectations. If I take a small helping of a vegetable I loathe and eat potatoes instead, the Van Dans, especially Mrs. Van Dan, can't get over how spoiled I am. "Come on, Anne, eat some more vegetables," she says. "No, thank you, ma'am," I reply. "The potatoes are more than enough." "Vegetables are good for you. Your mother says so, too." "Have some more," she insists, until Father intervenes and upholds my right to refuse a dish I don't like. Then Mrs. Vandy really flies off the handle. "You should have been at our house, where children were brought up the way they should be. I don't call this a proper upbringing. Anne is terribly spoiled. I'd never allow that. If Anne were my daughter..." This is always how her tirades begin and end. "If Anne were my daughter..." Thank goodness I'm not. But to get back to the subject of raising children. Yesterday, a silence fell after Mrs. Vandy finished her little speech. Father then replied, "I think Anne is very well brought up. At least she's learned not to respond to your interminable sermons. As far as the vegetables are concerned, all I have to say is look who's calling the kettle black." Mrs. Vandy was soundly defeated. The pot calling the kettle black refers, of course, to Madame herself, since she can't tolerate beans or any kind of cabbage in the evening because they give her gas. But I could say the same. What a dope, don't you think? In any case, let's hope she stops talking about me. So funny to see how quickly Mrs. Van Dan flushes. I don't, and it secretly annoys her no end. Yours, Anne. Monday, September 28th, 1942. Dearest Kitty, I had to stop yesterday, though I was nowhere near finished. I'm dying to tell you about another one of our clashes, but before I do, I'd like to say this. I think it's odd that grown-ups quarrel so easily and so often and about such petty matters. Up to now, I always thought bickering was just something children did and that they outgrew it. Of course, there's sometimes a reason to have a real quarrel, but the verbal exchanges that take place here are just plain bickering. I should be used to the fact that these squabbles are daily occurrences, but I'm not and never will be as long as I'm the subject of nearly every discussion. They refer to these as discussions instead of quarrels, but Germans don't know the difference. They criticize everything, and I mean everything, about me. My behavior, my personality, my manners, every inch of me from head to toe and back again is the subject of gossip and debate. Harsh words and shouts are constantly being flung at my head, though I'm absolutely not used to it. According to the powers that be, I'm supposed to grin and bear it, but I can't. I have no intention of taking their insults lying down. I'll show them that Anne Frank wasn't born yesterday. They'll sit up and take notice and keep their big mouths shut when I make them see they ought to attend to their own manners instead of mine. How dare they act that way? It's simply barbaric. I've been astonished time and again at such rudeness and, most of all, at such stupidity, Mrs. Van Dam. But as soon as I've gotten used to the idea, and that shouldn't take long, I'll give them a taste of their own medicine, and then they'll change their tune. Am I really as bad-mannered, headstrong, stubborn, pushy, stupid, lazy, etc., as the Van Dams say I am? No, of course not. I know I have my faults and shortcomings, but they blow them all out of proportion. If you only knew, Kitty, how I seethe when they scold and mock me, it won't take long before I explode with pent-up rage. But enough of that. I've bored you long enough with my quarrels, and yet I can't resist adding a highly interesting dinner conversation. Somehow, we landed on the subject of Pym's extreme diffidence. His modesty is a well-known fact, which even the stupidest person wouldn't dream of questioning. All of a sudden, Mrs. Van Dam, who feels the need to bring herself into every conversation, remarked, "I'm very modest and retiring, too, much more so than my husband." Have you ever heard anything so ridiculous? This sentence clearly illustrates that she's not exactly what you'd call modest. Mr. Van Dam, who felt obliged to explain the "much more so than my husband," answered calmly, "I have no desire to be modest and retiring. In my experience, you get a lot further by being pushy." And turning to me, he added, "Don't be modest and retiring, Anne. It will get you nowhere." Mother agreed completely with this viewpoint, but as usual, Mrs. Van Dam had to add her 2 cents. This time, however, instead of addressing me directly, she turned to my parents and said, "You must have a strange outlook on life to be able to say that to Anne. Things were different when I was growing up, though they probably haven't changed much since then, except in your modern household."